Happy New Year 2024. The new year always brings with it the promise of new things. I've been around for about 45 of these things now, cognizant for most of them. And we have our resolutions and we talk about yesterday as if being that it is calendrically a part of an entirely different year, it has nothing to do with today. And today is the beginning of something else. And we all know the proverbial joke that by February, January's resolutions tend to be on the dust heap. Until the new year. Well, I hope that your resolutions follow through with you, whatever they are. I don't really have any. My children and I were out walking last night, and one of them asked me, "Dad, do you have any resolutions for the new year?" And I did say contentment. I said, in a word, contentment. She said, "Huh." And then we went on to theirs. I guess that is one that I have. I just want to be more content in everything God has called me to do and be, and all the service that I get to do to Him in this, my brand new chapter of life, where I'm at in my life. Don't know where you are in yours, but I wish you a happy new year. And indeed, the resurrection of Jesus is the promise of new things any day we consider them. So every day we remember the resurrected King, we have the promise that wherever you were yesterday, or wherever you were 10 minutes ago, what the cross represents and the subsequent resurrection of the one on it is that it can change nothing if you are with God in Christ, saved, in adoption with Him, secure. New Year's, this day, it's January 1st, 2024. I don't know if I'll be alive to make a New Year's 2025. Hope to be. But it is today, I am reminded today that it is indeed a new year. 365 days, we'll be in this position, some scientists tell me, this time next year, having gone around the sun and spun around 365 times while we do it. We'll be here again next year. Or perhaps the second coming will occur, And God's going to change everything up, and we'll still be on the earth, and it'll just be new and better. But anyway, New Year's. Folks, I don't know what happened to you in 23. I know that in 24, the threat as an American, I know many of you listening to this are in other countries in the world, brings a sort of a foreboding. We're moving into an election year, and most of us don't feel like we have people in Washington, D.C., that we trust at all. We trust them to look out for their own interests. And really, in one level, there's nothing wrong with that. But we certainly don't like them, believe that they're ethical people, or have anybody else's best interest at heart. And I could go on, but I don't want to paint with a broad brush as if I know all of them. But given the things and the deeds that they do, we don't feel like we have much promise from them or redress to them. They just want our taxes, and indeed, they deserve that in part as well, doing many things for us, but maybe not as much as they take. But anyway, we have an election year coming up, and it's just going to be nasty. I mean, so there's that going on in the culture in the United States, which is not good. But folks, I don't know where you were in 23. I don't know what happened. You know, maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a financial problem. Maybe a natural disaster came into your life. You know, hurricanes, something like that. Maybe a child has gone away or died, or parents, or I've talked to people with all of these conditions, not knowing about a job that they're trying to get, not sure about a marriage that they're in. How things are going to turn out. Worried about kids and their faith and where they are with Christ. I got it. We all have these concerns. This is contract with a meaningful life. You will have suffering and you will have issues. but it's New Year's. And what's behind is not what's ahead. The calendar will never, ever, ever be the same. You'll never have another 2024. You'll never have another January 1st is when I'm recording this. And whenever you listen to it, whatever year it is, that will always be the only date for that day. Folks, look to Christ in the new year. Be ever watchful for the blessings of God. Don't take them lightly. The resurrection of Jesus promises us that whatever Saturday brings, if I can be all pithy, Sunday can bring something totally different. Scripture calls us to consider those disciples between the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, and then 40 days in between the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the promise of the New Testament in that manner on the day of Pentecost, a day of harvest. And you have in Scripture all this talk, right? Well, there's plenty of it, where you consider their fears, their worries, that things were not going to go well. They weren't going well already, and that they're going to get worse. I mean, you remember what the folks on the road to Emmaus said, we were hoping he was going to do thus and such. That's exactly what Jesus had accomplished, even when he had the discussion with them, and they didn't understand it. And in between all this time, there's uncertainty and there's worry. So wherever you are on a Friday and Saturday, there's this decisive thing about Sunday that can change everything. And so wherever you are listening to this today, don't look at your Saturdays or your Fridays right now. It's New Year's. Look at your Sunday. Look at the first day of the week. And let it be a first for you. If there's a resolution in you that needs to be made to repent of your sin and trust in Christ, like you would trust a parachute if you're about to jump out of a plane. You don't put partial trust in parachutes. You put full trust in it. And I'm inviting you to put your full trust in Christ alone. He will not, but will let you down like a parachute. He will not let you down figuratively, but he will let you down literally. Safely. I used to be a parachute rigger in the Air Force back in the 90s into the early 2000s. And I used to pack a lot of parachutes, man. Pack hundreds of them, maybe even 1,000. I don't know how many I packed in 4 years of doing that. And it was trust in me to pack that chute right. Well, Christ, your trust in him to fully save you from the jump to come can be yours. God's grace displayed to mankind on that cross says, repent of your sin. Consider what sin is in your life. What does it look like? How do you know what it is? And if God has given you a heart that loves him, you're going to want to distance yourself from that which you know is sin because God is closing in the gap with you. That will lead you to abhor your sin, to turn from it, and to trust in Christ, and in Christ alone. And that, my friend, is exactly what I remind you and invite you and encourage you to do. Trust in him. He is most trustworthy. You know, Jesus didn't claim to be God only. He proved it. There's this example I'll leave you with of the proof that you can have of the sureness of this promise in Christ in the resurrection, this sign that is given to the world that assures everyone there's a day of judgment to come. This life doesn't end when you die. There will be judgment to come. And Jesus proves that in his resurrection, Acts 17, the resurrection points to the day of judgment. Yikes, right? This is a surety. When you look at the story of the paralytic, Jesus is teaching in a certain home, and people are trying to get this paralyzed person next to Jesus. And so they tear up part of the roof. This is not modern construction, but they tear up part of the roof and they let him down next to Jesus. Full house, he's teaching, they bring him in. And he says to them, to the man, your sins are forgiven. And now some of the people there who didn't believe Jesus' message said, this dude is a blasphemer. Only God can forgive sins. Who does he think he is? And Jesus' response is, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise up and walk? But so that you might know, and that is everyone in the room, by the way, that the Son of Man has authority and power on earth to forgive sins. Then he looked at the man, the paralytic, and said, take up your mat, your bed, your whatever translation term is used, and get out of here. And the dude immediately begins to walk. So now, if I look at you and just say something, if I say, well, I'm this or God's that, it's pretty easy, right? Anybody can claim anything. I mean, the Pope claims to be the infallible vicar of Christ on earth. It demonstrates he's basically infallible at being wrong, but he actually claims it, right? Jesus can claim something. I can claim something. Your pastor can claim something. You in a New Year's resolution can claim something. But Jesus didn't just claim that he was God. He did many times, very clearly, in many deep and amazing ways. But he didn't just claim it so that you could dismiss as mere words your claim, his claim. You can't just dismiss what Jesus said. You have to dismiss what he did. And the resurrection is the ultimate reminder that Jesus ain't just a talker, he's a walker. He didn't just talk the talk. You go ahead and conquer death, and then I'll listen to you too, Muhammad. You go ahead and conquer death, and I'll listen to you, papacy person. I know that's not exactly the same thing, but because papists claim the resurrection, but you know, I'll take your authority as equal to God's in matters of faith. You go ahead and conquer the dead, whoever you are, whatever claim you're making. Folks, Jesus proved something about who he was. Far different than just making a claim. Just like healing that man is far different than simply saying your sins are forgiven. That's not something you prove in the natural, is it? Now, it's true when Jesus said it. And that's the whole point of the physical healing, is to prove that he can forgive sin. And so he did it with this man and then healed him. But you can't see the former. You can't. Now, you will after the man dies. And you see his disposition, and he's that blessed man of Romans 4, against whom his sin is not imputed any longer. That will show what Jesus said to be true. When did that happen? Well, when Jesus pronounced the forgiveness of his sin. Dude didn't even confess. We don't even have it recorded in any of the Gospels where he's like, man, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. But Jesus just forgives him. Amazing, the demonstration of his sovereignty. But he's forgiven and then healed. And Jesus says the latter proves the former in ways none of you hypocrites ever could. So, listener, you have this demonstration of power, not just in words, but in deeds. Jesus was proven in all the miracle works that he did. Nobody ever talked like him. Nobody ever did the kind of works he did. Forget about it. Not even close. The whole nation of Israel, all the miracles seen don't equal the gospel recorded short 3+ years of ministry of the Messiah. Amazing demonstrations of power. But the greatest, the one that would show him to be the one I can use this pithy little New Year's metaphor for today and say, if you believe in him, it doesn't matter what yesterday was or the last 50 years of your life. You're listening to this and you're a prostitute in Amsterdam and you know what you're doing is blasphemous and wrong. Repent today. Leave it. It doesn't matter what you did before. Christ has removed the stain of sin. Now go sin no more. This is his command to all of us, wherever he finds us. I don't know who you are. But all of that, you have this promise in this Jesus who didn't just claim he was something. He proved it in this resurrection. You don't crown this one king. When they came to try to do it, he removed himself from the crowds because he knew they wanted to try to crown him king of Israel. He is the king of Israel. But you know how we'd all know it? Not just in the words. and certainly not the ones for whom he came to offer himself as a ransom. They would not crown him. The Father would crown him. The Holy Spirit would crown him. Post his resurrection and ascension, he would be coronated and crowned as the God-man, King of heaven, earth, certainly Israel, certainly you and me. If we trust in him, you have this promise. So forget what lies behind. Strive on to what is ahead of you. But understand that Christ is the only way you can ever make any progress against sin in your life. Unless sin is removed, you will always remain under it. If it is removed, you can make progress against how it has murdered you and affected you. You can then make progress in sanctification, in holiness. You can seek after God by the power of God. And I pray that for you. And I pray that in 1 year from now, granted, most people will not listen to this on this day, but figuratively speaking, wherever you are hearing this message, plus one more trip around the sun, should the Lord allow us to have it, don't go to hell. Don't be in hell. Be in grace. Be in heaven. Turn to Christ today. That wherever you are hearing this and wherever you'll be, that you will be a changed and better person in Jesus. Alive, full, joyous, rejoicing. That's what I want for you. Happy New Year, 2024.